we give you praise. We commit this instruction into your hands. Our prayer is that you will grant our hearts the requisite grace to accept this message and also to act on it. This is our prayer. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Be exalted forevermore. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for thus far, He has helped us since morning. Thank Him for His grace. Grace for capacity that He has given us. The Lord will continue to help us in the name of Jesus. We will continue to look at the future glory. Yesterday, the Lord came showing us something very important. He helped us to see that He called us to glory. And we saw that this glory is a destination. And we tried to look at where He called us from and the pathway to where He called us to, and also what He called us to step into. He pressed it on our hearts yesterday, and I believe that we understood what He said. In case anyone is afraid of responding to His call, in case anyone is scared, in case one has lost confidence in following Him, He made it clear that all the men He called, He called them to take them to the land of glory. That declaration strengthened my own following. It strengthened my confidence in Him. That He did not call me to waste me. Even if currently it appears as if my life is being wasted, that is only a means of making my life useful. Because as a matter of principle, God will finish a man before He will start him. As a matter of principle, no man will experience the glory of resurrection except he has experienced death. Nobody who didn't die ever resurrected. As glorious as the resurrection life is, you must die before you will experience it. So even when you see God taking you through the valley of the shadow of death, He's only taking you through. That is not your destination. And He's taking you to where He has prepared a table. A table that even if your enemies are around, they will remain helpless. So we saw that He called us to glory. Some said unto eternal, His eternal glory. The word eternal implies that this glory that He has called us into is not temporal. It's not for some times. It's eternal. I'm still touching this matter because I am begging God to help us see what we are hearing. One thing is to hear, another thing is to see what you are hearing. I am begging Him to bring this matter to us by revelation. Because until it comes to you by revelation, it cannot take hold of you. You know, knowledge is what you carry, but revelation carry you. I am begging Him that this fact that God picked me from nowhere and His intention is to take me to glory, that it will come to me by revelation. That all of a sudden I will begin to see what I am hearing. And let me say that not until then what you are hearing will lack the capacity, the driving force to push you towards God's direction. Please note that He has called you to glory. And this glory is eternal glory. It is an insult to think that God called you just to give you money. It is an abuse, a very terrible insult on the face of the Almighty God to think that He called you just to offer you what an Alahaji can get without even calling Jesus. Can I inform you that if what God holds in store for us is what money can buy, is of no use following Him. But I'm sure you are already aware that what He wants to bring us into is what the whole world put together cannot purchase. That showing me how favored and privileged I am to have heard Him say, follow me, and to have received grace to follow. So please note that he has called us to glory. Hallelujah. And I'm realizing that as we keep taking steps in following him, we'll be experiencing this glory in measures. But the measure is not the matter now. The matter is how God will help you to realize, to agree, to believe that he called you to glory. And he who has called you to glory is able to bring you into that glory. That was how Sarah got strength to conceive. As she looked at the profile of the one who made promise to her, she checked him inside. And the Bible said she judged him faithful who has promised. That was how she received strength. She checked the one who made this promise. I don't know if you have checked the one who said is taking you to the land of glory. Don't look at your legs. You will not be going there by your two legs. His grace will take you there. No man who ever entered that glory entered by the energy of his two legs. All the men that stepped into this glory, it was grace that carried them. If there's any prayer they prayed, I suppose they prayed for grace, not to fall from grace. They cried for to abide in grace. Why? The reason is that when a man falls from grace or from the grace, his fall will know no end. No man falls from grace to grass. There is no grass that can provide support for a man who has fallen from grace. When a man falls from grace, he will continue to fall until grace will come again to provide support for him. This is the reason of Satan is still on. Ever since he failed, he has not landed. Why? The reason is that the only platform that could bear a man is grace. And since God has withdrawn his grace from him, he is still falling. And his fall is eternal. Why? Because God will never give him grace to enable him stand. So don't look at your two legs and be wondering, is it these two legs that we get to the land of glory? If there's anything to pray about, it's not that God should strengthen your two legs. It is that God will give you grace to abide in his grace. That God will grant you grace not to frustrate his grace.
May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. So please, assure your heart that even if you don't understand what is happening, he who called you is not confused about where he's carrying you to. Sometimes, brethren, we'll be worried. I'm worried. I don't know the will of God. I said, even if you do not know the will of God, just allow God to carry you. He will bring you into his will. Just be flexible in his hands. Don't be rigid. Just be so flexible that he can fling you anywhere like Brother Flip. That Flip baptized an Ethiopian and without any notice he disappeared and appeared in Azotus. And just to let you know that Flip, you know, came to a point that the Holy Spirit could even take him anywhere without information. When he landed there, he did not express any feeling of offense or annoyance as regard to why the Holy Spirit just took him like that without giving him notice. Or do you think Philip did not have a house in Samaria? It's possible that he cooked wonderful soup that he thought he would come back to enjoy. So I realized that when a man is not certain, not sure what God is or where God is leading him or what he's saying, if he can say, Lord, let your will be done. Do to me as it pleases you. I can assure you that at the end of the journey of that man, he may not find at any point where he missed the will of God. Why? Because God will be carrying him into his will. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Now, having established that, and I'm supposing that that is settled in our hearts, that even as small as you are, that God is mindful of you. You may be nameless from nowhere, but God deliberately created you. You are not a duplicate. There is no another you in this whole universe. We have more than 7 billion human beings on earth. And if you go and check all of them, you cannot find another you. What that implies is that the day God made you, he made you deliberately, and he made you for a specific purpose. So, just as you know the properties you have, you know your television, you know your standing fan and your ceiling fan, and you know your furniture. If you entered your parlor and you didn't see your furniture, would you know? I'm asking. You will know. That's why he said that the hairs, your hairs, are numbered. And no one will fall on the ground without his consent. You know, there's a difference between numbered and counted. They are not just counted, they are numbered. Each one has a number. So he is not just saying that they have 3 million. No. Each one has a number. And no one will fall on the ground without his approval. That we show you that he knows you very well. That's why sometimes, if I have no food to eat, I do not pray as if to say God is not aware that there is no food in the house. Because if I entered into a room and locked, and I committed evil, will he not see me? Eh? So if I'm alone in the room with nothing to eat, will he not see me? Ah. He knows everything about us. Now, having established that, I realize even from this, the topics that we were given, I realize that the glory that God is discussing in this meeting is in two dimensions. The glory in the now and the future glory. And in this section, or in this lot, we will be dealing with the future glory. And I'm begging God to help our hearts in order to listen and to beg him to help us see this future glory. This matter is very critical because it takes only a man that has eyes that can see the future to see the future. If we are dealing with the matter of the future glory to a man who does not have such eye, you only be wasting your time. So one of the prayers that I'm already praying, even as I'm talking, is that God will open our eyes to see the glory ahead. Hallelujah. I would like us to read a passage as we go on. Can you join me to Romans chapter 8? And I would like to read three verses, beginning with verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. My focus in this passage is verse 18. But because verse 18 opened with the word for, the word for means because. word for means the reason is this. Now, as a Bible student, you don't start studying a passage with a passage that started with causal clause like this one that says for, which means the reason is this. Because
the question you'll be asking is
because of what? And that will make me to touch verse 16 and verse 17 before I will settle in verse 18. It says that the Spirit, sorry, that should be Himself. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? We are what? We are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of what? Are you following the Bible? If children, then heirs, and heirs of what? And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Hallelujah.
Two issues here that are touching my heart. Number one is that it is obvious that we are heirs. There's a song like that. We are heirs. Do you remember that song? We are heirs. But heirs of what? What did the Bible say? Heirs of God. We have no time to deal with that matter. Heirs of God, not heirs of God's properties. As heirs, we are to inherit him, not his things. Our inheritance in him is him.
Hey.
The Lord will help us. I know I'm speaking in parable. Some of us don't even understand what I'm talking about. But elders that are here, they do understand. Because in those days, the Sunday chorus, one of the Sunday choruses, is this song that says, the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. You remember that song? What's the meaning of portion? Those of you in the village, where your mama returned from market and he bought granite, and you were not around when he returned, and he shared the granite to your siblings. You know, there's the one they reserve for you is called your what? Your portion. And they said, in this whole world put together, when everything is shared, my own portion is who? My own portion is the Lord. Some may be excited, but I know some are not. And why are they not excited? Because this, the Lord, is not tangible, is not visible. And the question is, do you have a heart that can inherit the invisible joyfully? That your own inheritance is invisible and you are glad. You didn't murmur. And when your friends gather, say, what have you collected? And you have nothing tangible to showcase. Heirs of God. Heirs. I'm pressing it because it is very important that it will enter us. If we have seen this and accepted this, some of these so-called prosperity preachers by now supposed to have closed their ministries. But they take advantage of our ignorance of what we are in God to inherit. To the point that they even ask you to give God bribe for you to inherit what God has for you in Him. Anyway, they don't call it bribe. In our Nigerian system of bribery is called appreciation. They don't call it bribe. It's seed. You sow seed to tap anointing. Power wine tapper. Hallelujah. Imagine that your fellow brother is asking you to sow seed so that you tap what both of you have in common in God and you agreed. It was what robbed Esau his birthright. Food, all of them were living in the same house. Jacob had not built his own house. All of them were still eating Mama Tankma and Papa Tansa. And he said, you have to send me your birthright for you to have a share in this. And he agreed. Say, look, if you are looking for this thing from God, you have to sow seed. Please ask him. That God, is it our father or another one? Why should I give you bribe or give you money to collect what our father has for us? But you see, we are raising a generation that doesn't ask questions. We are raising a generation that seems to have been turned into robots. That's why any man of God can come prophesy and collect money. The prophecy will not come to pass and they will still not hold him accountable. Heirs of God and joint heirs with who? With Christ. Do you realize that what Christ stands to inherit in God is God? And by the virtue of our union with Christ, we have become what? Joint heirs with Him to inherit the same person. Let Abraham realize this. Abraham realize this. In Genesis 15, verse 1. When he came to him and said, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. This inheritance exceeds what you consider to be great reward. Is far beyond what men value to be great reward. Exceeding great reward. What that means is that in all your labor for me, in all your service for me and to me what you will collect as your reward is me. Don't bother your head about this matter, because no matter how you crack your brain, you will crack out nothing. The only thing you need to do is to believe. Don't bother to, because you may not. Just believe. Say, I believe, Lord. That's enough. Heads of God and joint heads with Christ. Then the second matter. Yes, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Hey, hallelujah. I'm sure this is not the first time I read this passage. But one thing I am not sure of is if I have taken notes of the fact that the suffering here is not just suffer for Christ, but suffer with him. I'm not sure I have taken note of the fact that my suffering in him is with him, not just for him. And my trouble is, in case for those of them that said, me I know go suffer, I was thinking that suffering is as a result of lack of faith. That if I have enough faith, I can command whatever I want. So I will be exonerated from what? From suffering. But when I saw that my suffering in him is with him, not just for him, meaning that he's a partaker of the suffering that I'm suffering in him. Hey, how do we understand this one? But it's Bible that we read. Abi? No, me wrote amo. And the way I see am, so I read that. I hope it's like that in your own Bible. Unless you are carrying a Bible in quotes that was written by backsliders. There are versions nowadays that even as you are looking for versions, be very, very careful. Are we together? It says, if so, that we suffer with him. What's the meaning of with him? Together. So suffering in him is not as a result of sin that a man committed. Because Christ could not have committed sin. So suffering in him is not as a result of lack of sufficient faith to have endless enjoyment and pleasure. So suffering in him is part of what? How do I put it so that you understand me? Suffering in him is a glory of a kind. May God grant you understanding. Say, why is this brother going this way? Because we are living in a time, in which the word suffering irritates some people. There are places that if I'm standing in their pulpit and I'm preaching this, they will collect the mic from me. They have collected mic from me before, so it's not a new thing. there are places that when you stand to preach, even though they may give you 1 hour 30 minutes, there's no assurance that you preach up to 30 minutes. Are we together?
Oh, we're together.
Are you following me? Why? To them, they felt that the word suffering should be deleted from the Bible. Now, if all the suffering in the Bible is talking about suffering for Jesus, maybe I would have said it's all right. But when I saw that this suffering is with him, then I realized that this suffering must be the suffering that worketh away their glory for the people of God. Is a suffering that is a manufacturer. What does it manufacture? It manufactures glory. Brethren, can I again make this announcement? That our suffering in him is with him. I feel like even stopping here, honestly, I don't feel like preaching or talking, but I have not touched the matter that I'm here for. I'm only trying to do justice to that four that started verse 18. So, not one that men of old, they rejoiced in their suffering. When they came into Christ, they saw suffering in him as privilege. It's only today that little suffering one will begin to check whether the tithe he paid last Sunday, whether it was not complete. Because we have been taught that if you pay your tithes, which I don't even know how many people have ever paid tithes, but that is not where I'm going. I have no issue with that. Honestly, I have no issue with that. But let me just inform you that tithe is only what God used to check whether you can obey him. If something is used to check, say, let's check him before we bring the main instruction. Let's check him with this one. But I see, even though you have never paid tithes, the way you harass, excuse me, I've taught brethren with me and said, look, if you put what you normally put in envelope, go and stand, because it has become the membership right. It has become the precondition for you to be a member of the church of Jesus Christ. It does not matter how born again you are born again. You are not a member until your tithe is born again. I've told them, say, look, when you put that thing, go and stand there. Never you go before God and say, God, you know I have been paying my tithe. Because tithe is not only money. The crayfish Mama Ngozi gave you the other day. Did you pay the tithe? Well, let me leave that matter. Are we together? What is it that God is looking for? He's looking for all. Why is he looking for all? He wants to teach you to depend on him and not on mammon. So that no amount of money in your pockets will be the determinant factor to determine your joy and happiness. That whether there is money or no money, your countenance will not change. Let me leave that matter. So, but just note that our suffering in him is not just for him, but with him. Meaning that it's not because you have not paid your tithe, or because you have not sowed enough seed, or because you have not given fat offering, or because you have no enough faith. Because the modern faith, which you know is a strange faith, is a faith that is determined and that is defined by the measure of what one was able to extract from God by faith. So when measuring their faith, they check how much were you able to get by faith. But men of old, that in all that we are custodians of biblical faith, they measure their own faith by the amount of things they forsook by faith. Not by the measure of things they gathered by faith. So you see somebody will see a car and say, I claim it by faith. I claim this faith. That faith is a strange faith. Is covetousness in disguise. Men of old that experienced, that operated with faith, you will hear Bible say, by faith, this one forsook this. By faith, this one forsook that. Not by faith, this one collected this. So I realize that suffering in him is not because I have no faith. Because it takes a man of faith to suffer in him joyfully. It takes a man of faith to suffer in him and still abide in him. No wonder, you know, the current faith, the modern faith, which I know was fabricated from hell. Such faith, Satan does not fight it. But when you read Jude verse 3, you hear Bible saying, earnestly contending for what? For the faith. Jesus looked Simon and he said to him, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Meaning that that was the target of the enemy. That was the goal of the enemy. That faith. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Then, verse 18. I'm now beginning my message. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. I will not cross my time. Amen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Maybe tomorrow, if the Lord permits, we're dealing with the implications of that phrase revealed in us. But my concern here is the word record. But Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, he didn't say, cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What did he say? Is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That is dealing with the glory ahead. That is dealing with the future glory. There is a glory ahead of us. And Brother Paul says that he reckoned. What is the meaning of the word reckon? He thought, he considered, he judged that the present, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are not worthy to be compared. How did he know? How did he know? I'm sure that he had a revelation of that glory that made him to understand the worth of it, the value of it. And he said, Kai, all the sufferings of this present time. Please note that this suffering we are dealing with is suffering in him and with him. We are not dealing with sufferings outside him and without him. Is that clear? Even though I don't have time to deal with that. But we are dealing with sufferings outside him. But let me ask you, can someone suffer outside him? Eh?
Eh?
Do you notice that there's a promise he made in Mark chapter 10. When the disciples asked him, we that have left all and followed you, what are we going to get? Though in Mark they didn't add what are we going to get, it was in Matthew they added. And Jesus said, no man who has done what? Left houses, mothers, fathers, brethren, to forsake lands, but not for the sake of Jesus, is possible for someone to suffer, renounce, such suffering is a waste. So the suffering we are dealing with, please note, the suffering we are dealing with is the one in him, with him, and for him. Did you understand? Can I say that majority of brethren that are suffering, they are not suffering with him and for him. So my suffering, for themselves, brother Paul, when he said that I reckon that the sufferings he was talking about, excuse me, you know the sufferings of brother Paul, you are not answering me. For whom did he suffer? That's what we are dealing with. A man that was stoned, he said five times he was beaten, how many lashes, 40, no, they don't call it 39, it's 40 minus 1. Hallelujah. That's how Bible reports it. 40 minus 1, 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rod, and once he was stoned. Excuse me, did he commit adultery? He was stoned today, and the people feared that he was dead, so they dragged him because nobody was willing to offer his sepulchre for his burial. They dragged him outside and kept him. So brethren gathered around him. Maybe they prayed and he woke up. I know Bible, very meticulous. Bible reported that the next day, where Paul was found, was where he was preaching the next day. Hey, me like this, that this meeting is just one hour, 20 minutes that they gave me, that is not up to introduction. But if you see me lying down to sleep, you may think I did something extra. Stoned next day in the place of preaching. No wonder. He said, let no man trouble me again, for I bear on my body the marks. Have you ever wondered what is this mark? That he was not bearing it in his heart, on his body. So it could be seen. What is this mark? Don't ask me whether he sustained injuries. A man that was stoned, the next day he was in a place where he was talking about Jesus, how good Jesus is, how Jesus can save. With bruises. Don't ask me whether blood was thick. That he reckoned that suffering is nothing to be compared with the glory ahead. May God help me. what you think that made this brother to press on until he entered into this glory. He reckoned that the present time sufferings in Christ, with Christ, and for Christ, they are not worthy to be compared with what? Excuse me, with what? With glory ahead. Let me narrow this matter. You know, we are dealing with something that is vast. Glory is too vast that anybody can be, you know, cutting from any angle. Hallelujah. I just want to narrow it because my time is almost finished. There's a glory and very dangerous. Brethren, do you realize that there are two things that seem to be an obstruction to our pursuit of this glory ahead? God and in the morning to deal with number one. And that number one is the glory of divine glory. It is quite unfortunate that the pursuit of vain glory has hindered many from pursuing the real glory. But that is on the on those that have not even started the journey at all. But again, even the glory for now, if not handled properly, it also has the potential of beclouding the vision of a man from beholding the future glory. Now, let me narrow it as I promised. Let me ask you a question. Have you realized that the image of heaven has declined in our pulpits? You will agree with that there are some Christians that can live for 1 month without remembering heaven. Is it true? Many of us seem to have even forgotten heaven. Why? We are now occupied with what to get here and consume here. Let me ask you, do you still remember that we are pilgrims? If I may ask you, when last from the pulpit where you are worshiping, the man of God emphasizing that there is a place where we are going. Even the songs that we are singing nowadays, do you notice that the enemy technically extracted that aspect from our gospel songs? Unlike men of old, when we raise one song, it will remind you that you are a pilgrim here. words we are hearing now is only positioning us and preparing us on how to settle here and get all we can get by any means. Do you still know that there is a place where the street is made up of gold as clear as glass? Do you still remember that there's what is called rapture, that will take us to a place where there will be no pain, no malaria, and his brother typhoid? Do you still remember that in a twinkle of an eye we will vanish? We will be with him. When brother John said that the street is made up of gold, he is only using what is his vocabulary to pass across the message. The street is more beautiful than gold. I know you have forgotten that place. I know you have forgotten place where we will no longer look tired. That place where all of us will look glorious. There is a place like that. I don't know whether you still have that in your mind. So brother Paul said that he reckoned that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy. They are not worthy. Men of old had the revelation of that glory. They responded to this earth as if the earth does not exist. We are now raising a generation of Christians that heaven is not their hope and goal. That don't even remember heaven. They are competing with the world. And they are measuring their relationship with God with the amount of the things of the world that they were able to gather. It appears as if the message of heaven has disappeared. And that's why we are living and fighting for here. Jesus said to Pilate, if my kingdom is here, then would my servant fight? Men of old, someone like Abraham came to the land of promise, and the Bible says he sojourned. He didn't dwell. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land. Why? For he looked for a city that has foundations, whose maker and builder is who? Is God. Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I'm through, I will come and I will take you. So that where I am, there you will be also. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the glory ahead of us? There's a place we are going. We are strangers here. But the way some of us are settling, the way some of us are fighting, 5 hours prayer just so to be settled here. And some people are already praying and singing, Jesus said to Rome. You know that song? Oh, only Igbo people will know the song. Jesus said to Rome, cancel it, Ben Wurri. Settle you where? What do you mean by that? But when you listen to the songs of sacred men, people like the voice of, they sang one song in Igbo. They said, "O buru ni we ranya ki hu alese, ebending such no kwe we la, tasi ike kwe ki hapo wala." Let me translate it. They said in that song, it was a song. They said, if you use, if you see the place where men of old, men of faith entered by faith, if you see that place, that you will agree to leave this earth. It used to be chorus, Sunday chorus, when they say akagi, akagi. Oburu ni were anyagi wale se akage ebende so jiro kukwela. Excuse me, can you dance it? You are not answering me. Can you dance it? No, you don't dance such songs. You only meditate. That's why in those days, even before the word of God will come, sinners that came to church have already repented. Repented even before the word of God will come, because the chorus leader knew that that song is number one message, and the choir will come. He that escaped the sword of a chorus leader, this will be slain by the sword of the choir. And he that escaped the sword of the choir, the only hope will be the sword of the message. When they sojourned in the land of promise, because they look for a city. And the Bible says, in fact, my time, praise the Lord, is well. The Lord will help us. We still have tomorrow. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. But my brother, my sister, I know you have forgotten heaven. There's no point pretending. And some preachers made you to forget heaven. The devil also, he has provided enough problem. And you are busy trying to solve them. And a man of God, so to say, who also is trying to solve his own, but he's trying to use the little solution that you are still holding to solve his own. He said, look, you say you have problem. We call for covenant breaking. And he will charge. Excuse me. Himself. Somebody has problem. And you are coming to help him. And you are placing another problem on his head. I don't understand. This is a man who doesn't even use pure water. Maybe it's like me that used to fetch water with jerrycan and be drinking from jerrycan. And he will come to your house, say his wife alive that they are drinking. Five alive. And you will not buy the olive oil from the market. You will buy from him, because the one in the market is not holy. And that bottle of granite oil is not even granite oil, a pancanel oil. Where did he see granite oil? Pancanel oil. 20,000, 30,000.
And you buy seven pieces because seven is the perfect number.
It must not be one. It must be seven. Do you know 30,000 times seven is 210,000? Cool money, cool 210,000. He will pocket it before you will say to him, for his what? Prayers.
If only only Igbo person, will understand what I don't worry if you are not an Igbo person.
We are going to pray. I've loved to show us men that had a glimpse of that glory
and they fixed their eyes on it.
You think you can solve all the problems you have here on earth? You can't. In fact, some solutions are also coming with their own problem. I hope you know. He said, me, I don't want this. Trekking is too much. Trekking from here to there every day. God, I need a car. When you buy a car, the car will solve the problem of trekking. But the car will create the problem of particulars renewal. The car will create the problem of wear. The car will create the problem of road jamming. Now, particulars I go eat. You are not following me. The road safety, the VIO, the police, and even the one that you may not even know their name and when they came out. And you go to mechanic. They will work on fan beds. And they will not type kick.
You don't understand. Are you following me?
Say no, all this. And you see, if oh God, if I just marry so that I want someone that will cook it for me.
If you want to buy Indomie as a bachelor, how many Indomie will you eat?
When you marry, your Indomie will increase. So if anybody is telling you your problem will finish,
is a deceiver.
Are we together? Why they will not finish is because some of what we call problem is part of your preparation for glory as the Lord is showing us. To pray at this point. But let me ask you, do you still remember heaven? Do you still remember that we are going somewhere? And it won't be long from now. How old are you? All of us are seated here now in the next 150 years. None of us that are seated here now will still be on this earth. There's a place we are going. Men of old, because their eyes are fixed on that glory, they walk through the sufferings of this present time as if they are nothing. They walk through. Look at Brother Paul. Look at Abraham. He looked for a city. A city. My brother, there is a city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrew chapter 10 verse 34, you will see brethren there. When men took all that they owned from them, the Bible said they received it with joy. Everything they owned, we are taking away from them. They received it with joy because they knew that they have an enduring, a better, an enduring substance. Where? In heaven. my sister, there's a place where we are going. It is my prayer that you will see that place. The vision of that place. No one will see that place and still feel comfortable here. You know, men of old, what made them to live the way they lived was their vision of heaven. And what is making us to live the way we are living is because we have lost the vision of heaven. So struggling for the world. But you see, you can't get the glory of the world without bowing before the devil. So many are bowing to get temporal glory. There's a story. This thing happened in Russia. When the persecution was much, that Christians cannot just worship God openly. And if you were caught, there's no appeal. It was a jungle justice. So they caught this, seven brothers. And they sentenced them to death by firing squad. So they tied them on a stake. But before they will kill anyone, they will ask that one, do you still believe in Jesus? So they asked the first brother, he said, yes, I'm for Jesus. The commander gave order. They shot him and he died. They continued to kill them until the last ex-brother. When they asked that one, he says, let me check. And the commander was patient enough to allow him to reconsider his decision. While he was shaking, God opened the eyes of the commander. He saw heaven open. And he saw crown coming down, resting on the heads of those that have died. As he was seeing this vision, the other brother said that he's no longer interested. So the commander gave order and said they should release him. And they released him. So the commander went and positioned himself on that stake and said, I am now for Jesus. And the second in command took over the command and ordered that they should kill him. So he was shot dead. He took the crown of the other man. There's a place where we are going. I hope you have not lost sight of where we are going. Here is not our place. That place we are going, there will be no more tears. Death will not be there. Pain, sickness will not be there. Joy or true in the presence of the Almighty God. Inheriting him eternally. Will you be there? Shall we rise? Can you tune your mind to that city? That glorious city. A city that has no need of the moon or the sun. No need of electricity. The glory lamp is the light thereof. That's where we are going. That is the essence of discipleship. All the offering. All the things we are doing. That's the main reason. That's where we are going, brethren. Will I see you when we get there? Will you be there? Will you be there? My brother, will you be there? When they took all that these brethren owned, as they were carrying them, going them, they turned and saw the brethren, we are just rejoicing and smiling. When they were holding nothing visible again, because their eyes were fixed on that glory. don't know what happened. That preachers, many preachers, pastors, they are no longer talking about heaven. We only talk strategies. How many steps to occupy the world and collect the things of this world? They are not writing books that only showing you how many steps to that, to get a child, to get a husband, to get a wife, to get a car, to get promoted. And we have lost sight of where we are going. Take a moment to restore your vision of heaven. To remember heaven again. For many of us, it's been long you heard anything like going to heaven. Whatever glory you collected here that did not help you to get there is a waste. Whatever you become here and you did not enter there, would have been better you were not born. Because the alternative place is hellfire. You pray. Say, Father, restore to me the vision of heaven. In those days, brethren endured persecution because they knew that they are not of this world. Even while they persecuted, you see how they received it joyfully, and the people persecuting them thought that they were mad people, because they knew they were not of this world. Brother, please come and help us, please.
I am going higher, yes I am. Going with Jesus to stay. I am going above the shadow into the presence of God. Into the presence of Jesus. I'm going higher, higher. Yes, Baba, oh, I'm going. Yeah, someday. Oh, I am going. Yeah, yes, I am.
Jesus to say, I'm going above the shadow, oh, to the presence of God. Hallelujah, unto the presence of Jesus. Oh, I'm going, I am some. Open your eyes before I pray. This little story. Praise the Lord. To some of us, I don't know whether you have gotten a book titled From Police to Pulpit. Have you seen that book? From Police to Pulpit. Okay. It is out of stock for some time now. That book was dedicated to the brother that laid down his life for me. When I got converted in the Nigeria police, and the Lord started using me, preaching against bribery and corruption and the rest of them, the persecution was so much at area command, CPS Newe, where I was serving as a policeman. The persecution became so terrible, so hot, that the last time I went to sign my voucher to collect my salary, they arranged somebody to kill me, one of the officers to kill me by accidental discharge. As I was approaching to look at the voucher to sign my column to collect my money, I didn't know they have agreed together. They only gave a nice signal. And as I bent down to sign, they shifted left and right and left me alone. The glory of God is wonderful. I was about to sign and I heard the Lord say, "Shit! The bullet went straight. I was shaking. And the persecution became so much. They now started carrying police van to come to our church to arrest the whole believers there. That they're the ones who brainwashed an uprising police officer and gave him a Bible to be confusing everybody. And I stopped going to collect my salary. I emaciated like a broom because of hunger. In the night, I will plug on ripe pawpaw at the police, at the backyard of the police quarters and be chewing it. It was probably my stomach because there is no food. But there was a brother, Okechukwu Mark from Amu Marambi, was one of the brothers that followed me up when I repented. He has a provision store. As I was dying of hunger, because there is no way, I don't go to the road again to collect money from anybody. They attempted to kill me to sign my salary. How do I survive? I decided to endure the hunger. But the burden came upon Broke, the only son of the family. And he told me, "Brother Nicholas, I will not be alive to see you backslide." I said, I don't know what he meant. But I discovered that by I'm coming in the night, by 8:39, he will tiptoe into the police quarter and tap at my door. I will open the door. He come with beverages, bread, Bonvita, and everything. We will lock the door. He will be discipling me, telling me not to backslide. He will be speaking and talking. I will sleep off. He will be praying all through the night. By 4:34 a.m., 5 a.m., he will sneak out of the police quarters. I will come out the following day stronger. And the police say, something is wrong somewhere. In spite of all the torture against this brother, he will come out the following day stronger. They now to lay a surveillance, his police, and they monitored him. One of the days, he was sneaking out of my house. They arrested. So you are the ring leader. I didn't want you. Brother Nicholas, come. They are killing me already. I jumped out from the police quarter, went to the gate, and I saw blood coming out from his nose. I'm telling you a true life story. Heaven is real. So they came, went to CPS, and they put him into the police cell. Arrested some other brothers there. I don't know why he told me to pray, but I hate telling this story anyway, but I still tell it to encourage those. So finally, as they were all put in the police cell, our brother Okay started dying inside the cell. He was swollen all over. And the police, they called me that I should call my church leaders. They want to release all the people without anything, just want to disturb them, let them go. By that time, our Broke has become so sick. We have to take him to Bo. We had a sister, Dr. Eunice Anosike, that had a hospital, Grenada Hospital, near Old Bo Junction. We went and admitted him in that hospital. After some days, he sent a message. I should tell Brother Nicholas to come to Mpo immediately. There's a no gentle message. My heart was panting. Good enough, I had morning duty. So in the afternoon, I left in there with Mpo. I met him at the hospital. And before that persecution, he has approached the sisters and Sister Kudo to marry. So being a very close brother, I should remember him in prayer. That the next few months, he will start the process of that marriage. So I met him in the hospital. He said, broken. He said, yes, I sent for you. I needed you immediately as I'm here. He said, I called you for you to give me a promise that you will not backslide, no matter what happened. I said, what does that mean? We are talking about your recovery. He said, which recovery? I said, I'm talking about your recovery now so that you can recover. He said, no. Don't you see them here? I said, who are they them? He said, don't you see the angels waiting to take me home? I said, no, it cannot happen now. No, don't say this. I started shouting. Dr. Eunice and the nurses, many of them are members of our church, they rushed. They said, Brother Nicola, why are you shouting? He said, look at what okay is saying, you know. He said, Brother Nicola, give me a promise. I want to go home. I said, you are not going anywhere. You are going to marriage. Which marriage are you talking about? Before I knew it, he held my hand. He said, promise me you never backslide, no matter what happened. I was so clean. I said, by the spiritual grace of God, I will not backslide, but you are not going to die. He pulled my hands, fell back to his pillow, and went home to be with the Lord. I shouted, I fell down on the ground. His dead body was smiling. He was smiling. I don't know how I fainted, but I know I was resuscitated anyway. So later on, they managed to take me back to Newi and brought the dead body to Newi. They reported the matter. The people who arrested him were arrested. I mean, who beat him up were arrested. And they brought his body to Newi Central Police Station. But our church leaders, we had a meeting and said, there was nobody killed in the Bible, that they arrested the killers. We forgave the police. And they prepared for the burial. I was so down. I couldn't attend the burial. But the bleeding led me by hand. When they brought the body to the church, opened the casket. I said, broke. So for my sake, you stood your ground. The only son of the family. And I remember pleading with the Lord that he should allow okay to live and let me die, because my father has many children. I said, God, take me, exchange my life. But he allowed it. I said, okay, good night until that resurrection morning, when we shall meet to part no more. But after the burial, I looked at my Bible and said, no, I'm not sure that this Bible is true. I can't continue. Jesus died for me. God an only son, the only son of the mother, to die like that. Does heaven want it? Is anything like heaven? I just say, God, I'm making up my mind. By tomorrow, I will set my Bible on fire. I won't believe anything again. There is no heaven. If there is God, I don't know what kind of God is that. I lay down. Oh my God. Hallelujah. I lay down that night, preparatory to set my Bible on fire the next day. As I lay down, I saw it. I was hearing a song. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As I landed in a particular place, bro, wisdom, this world is too dirty. I have never seen something like that before. The streets were glittering. I heard a voice say, look up. That is the celestial city. I said, okay, so which means heaven is real. And I'm here finally. God, the only way I can appreciate your mercy over my soul is that I will not walk to that place. I lay down. I will roll on the floor. I will just do my hand like this and say, God, thank you, Jesus, that I made heaven at last. I will roll. I will rolling and woke up rolling on my bed. I say, which bed? The first thing I noticed that the whole of my room is as dirty as shit. You know, say, everywhere was shit. The building, very clean building, shit. Everywhere shit. I was eating like this for than a week, sir. If I couldn't come, if I come, I shit. Everywhere shit. No, I can't stay here. I ran to my pastor, Reverend Humphrey Osondo. I said, sir, is a suicide permitted in the Bible? He said, how do you mean? He said, look at the revelation I had. As I wanted to burn my Bible. And God showed me heaven. And I don't want to miss it. I want to commit suicide and go back. He said, no, if you commit suicide, you are going to perish in hell. God showed you this revelation to confirm that, okay, saw something. And counted marriage and wanting as rubbish. And went to home. So God is telling you, if you maintain your faith, you will meet okay in heaven. This is one of the reasons that from that day, the world died. Anything in this life doesn't make any meaning to me. On Israel, shall we raise our hands in prayer? There's a land that is fair and dandy. And by faith, we can see it afar. For the Savior went over the way to prepare us a dwelling place. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. Beautiful shore. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. We need the grace, Lord. Only your grace and mercy, your merit and qualification can make us to make heaven at last. And I say, okay, good night until that resurrection money, where we shall meet to part no more. We pray you, Lord, renew our hope of future glory. Because vain glory, the glory of this world, has suffocated our desire, our hunger for the eternal place. Lord, and the Bible says, if it is in this life we have hope, we are all men most miserable. But our hope is beyond the sky. Help us as we continue this meeting. Trust you, Lord, by tomorrow you still come afresh to us. Blessed be your name for what you have done from the morning hours to this moment. Thank you for your servants that virtues have gone out of their lives. We are sure you are going to renew that by tomorrow you will renew our heavenly hope. Because the signs of the Bible, the signs of the end in Matthew 24 is almost finished. It's almost complete, almost fulfilled rather. And the kind of wars and rumors of wars that even in Israel they are planning, I mean the entire Middle East want to join. And many of them have chemical weapons, atomic bomb and all those things. And God will not allow them to use it. Which means the trumpet may sound at any moment. Help us to be ever ready for your second coming. Holy Spirit, as the voice of unprofitable vessels have stopped, may your own voice continue until you have perfected the work you are already doing in our lives. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.